Welcome to the Working Genius Podcast, where we discuss anything and everything related to the six types of working genius and how it impacts your work and your life. I'm Pat Lincioni, your host, joined with two people today. I got my co-host Cody Thompson on board. How you doing, Cody?
Glad to be here, Pat. Always love the Working Genius Podcast.
I know, it's so much fun. We also have Bo Johnson, one of our colleagues out in Utah. How you doing, Bo?
Fantastic. Cody, good to see you guys.
Great to have you on board. We got Matt on the dials on engineering. Hello, Matt. And Tracy's watching us to make sure we don't say the word suck. And we just did. So anyway, today, what's our topic, Cody?
Working genius and parenting.
That's right. You know, the working genius is about any kind of work, any and every kind of work, running a company, launching a new product, whatever we're doing. And one of the most important kinds of work we do, and it's certainly work, is parenting, is raising children. And like everything else, parenting requires that we have every kind of working genius or that we do those things, but no one person has those as their favorite thing. We all have to do things that are part of our working genius. We also have things in our working frustrations and our working competencies. And we, Cody and Bo and I, we're going to talk about that today, how it relates to parenting and what's a challenge about that and what does this look like in the real world. So between us, we have 10 kids. Bo, you have four. I have four. Cody has two. We won't tell you that Cody has another one on the way because we haven't made that public yet. But currently, we have 10 kids between us. So tell me, Bo, Cody, how does working genius change the way you think about parenting?
I think your intro is perfect because when we talk about this in the context of a team and you look at a team map and you say, oh, we have a gap maybe in wonder, we have a gap in tenacity, the natural thing on a team is to say, hey, is there somebody else we could hire or borrow or bring into the conversation? And you don't get to do that in your marriage. So you're working.
Not yet. I think there's legislation pending that says that we can have four wives or four husbands. Right. So we have all the geniuses covered.
That's right. But so I find it really interesting, this application to parenting, because we, at maximum, if you and your wife have two geniuses that don't overlap, then you have four of the six. And so innately, every single family, in terms of the way we parent, is going to have some gaps that are going to be hard for us to navigate. And so it's really been interesting, even so there's a few things we'll explore. I think we'll talk about what it looks like from a knowing what your genius is and how that helps you parent, even knowing maybe what your kid's genius is. But there's, I think, the underlying thing, and this is what I'd love to explore with you guys, is this idea that when you know what yours is as a family or as parents, you can avoid some guilt and shame. That's actually really, really plagues a lot of families. I know it does me from time to time based on my working genius.
We've gotten lots of questions about working genius and family. And the most common question is, how do I know this for my kids? Like, how do I know what my kids' genius is? And similar, we get questions from leaders all the time, and they show us their team map and they want to talk about their team and jump right to, tell me about the strengths of my team. Tell me how we do this. And really, the first question is always with the leader, hey, the first step is you understanding your working geniuses and your working frustrations. And that's so hard to do, right? That's almost a little bit more painful to look in the mirror and say, my working geniuses are invention and galvanizing, and I have a huge deficiency in enablement and tenacity. And looking at that in the mirror is kind of painful because I'm reminded of how much frustration I've caused people and what it is about my leadership and about my parenting that wears me out.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, Cody likes to say, when people say, what's the best type to be a leader? It's the self-aware. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because if you're whatever leader you are, you're going to have gaps. And a self-aware leader is going to fill in those gaps. And so the first thing we have to do as parents is say, what kind of parent am I naturally going to be? And I'm going to lean into that and be that kind of a parent. Now, I'm going to have to round out some of my hard edges, but I'm not going to, as Cody said, be guilty about this. I'm going to be good at the things I'm good at and try to figure out ways to fill the gap. So let's start by talking about ourselves as parents. I'll go first because my kids are the oldest. I have kids from 23 to 15 right now, four boys. And so I am an inventor discerner ID. We call that the discriminating innovator right now. That's the current label. That means when my kids come to me for advice, I'm a happy man. Or when they come to me and they say, and some parents are going to cringe at this, when they say, hey, dad, I need to do a science project. What should I do? I'm like, ooh, this is going to be fun. or have to write a short story, or how should I go about whatever it is. I love coming up with new ideas for them, and I love giving them advice. Mm. Okay. So that's my sweet spot as a parent. Now, follow through details. That is not what I do. My working frustrations are enablement and tenacity. Well, I have to tell you, and I had a profound understanding today of something, and that is not my favorite part of any kind of job, and it's not my favorite part of being a parent. Well, my wife, she tenacity is one of her frustrations as well, and she's had to do most of the tenacity work in our family for a long time. And I'm going to go see her in about an hour and a half, and I'm going to give her a hug and just say, I am so sorry that I had no idea that so much of what you've had to do in our home was precisely the thing that wears you out. Mm-hmm. And I used to come home from work, and she would say, I'd say, how are you doing? And she'd say, I'm so tired. And I'd be like, wow, why is she so tired? It was because she was doing precisely the thing that drains her of her energy. And yeah. It's so good to know that now. I wish I'd understood that better 20 years ago, because then maybe we could have outsourced even more of that part of what we do. But so I'm an ID parent. I'm pretty good at those things. I'm not good at other things. And that's kind of what the working genius in parenting is all about.
I think it's interesting. I love that, the way that you describe that, Pat, because I think what it's done for our family, you know, we also, in addition to people saying, what's the best type for a leader? Some of the questions is like, should I work on my working frustration? Should I try to develop that over time? Because, hey, in my family, if we're really bad at tenacity, like I haven't gone to the dentist in maybe 5 years. It's mostly a tenacity problem for me, but I can't allow that to happen for my kids, you know?
And you haven't brushed your teeth in like 3 years, right?
Right. And it seems to be doing fine. Everybody loves sitting next to me during lunch. No, but I think what it does is it allows you, you know, in the same way that you would think about a team, you can think about, like you said, sort of exporting some of these ideas. Not that we're going to bring people in, but here's a perfect example. So I'm a discerner galvanizer. And so my best thing around our house is like helping evaluate what is the right thing for our family, what should we do, and then helping get our family motivated around that, like galvanizing them towards the goal.
Let's do it. Let's go. Yeah.
And what I'm not good at, and here's something I feel guilty about, is Bo lives 5 minutes from me, and we're about to find out he's an inventor galvanizer. And we spend a lot of time with his family, and Bo comes up with all these creative, fun things for his family to do. Road trip ideas when they're in the car, games that they play, or you know, taste testing things for dinner where he's blindfolding them and giving them different spoonfuls of things. And really, I have a tendency to be like, boy, I'm not as fun of a dad, or I'm not as creative. And I have to remind myself that discernment is my number one gift. It's actually leaning into your gifts that's going to make you a better parent, not trying to compensate on the other side. And so it's as simple as having this language now. I don't feel that guilt. What I would do instead is I like to go and say, hey, I'll go to three of my friends and say, hey, what was the best vacation you took as a family, like inventors? And they'll lay out the ideas. And then I get to discern through them and go, oh, that one would be great for our family. You know, I don't have to come up with it out of nothing.
Imagine a guilt-ridden or guilt-throwing parent like coming along and saying, how come you're not as creative as your friend? It's like, because I'm not. God didn't make me that way. How come you're not, your garage, Laura and I, our garages are a mess because neither of us like tenacity. So it's like, just throw it in there. It'll be fine. Someone will steal it eventually. We won't have to worry about it. And if somebody comes on, because how come your garage is such a mess? It's like, have you looked at my working genius? I'll tell you why. Now, yeah, we need to clean it. Yeah, but we're never going to be great at that. And that's okay.
I love that posture, Cody, of instead of thinking about the gap that I don't have to my family, thinking about what's the genius that I can bring to actually really serve my family. And I'm, and like you said, an inventor galvanizer. And through the lens of working genius, we've seen my wife has the geniuses of discernment and tenacity. She's really frustrated by galvanizing. Well, so much of parenting is galvanizing. Hey, we got to get in the car. We're going to go to church. Yeah. We're going to clean our room. You're going to do our homework. You know, this is the vision. This is who we're trying. It wears her out. And, you know, this gives us language to see, like, actually what I'm doing can really serve my family, to be able to help galvanize them to do important things that's helping us become who we're wanting to become, instead of feeling guilty that, gosh, I am not good at doing wondering for our family and really pausing to think about who are my kids becoming and what's the potential that we're missing.
My wife did a Bible study. A woman named Lisa Brennickmeyer started it. It's for women. It's called Walking with Purpose. It's fantastic. And she would say this thing that I thought was great. She would say that your children are formed by your weaknesses. That's part of what forms them. Is every parent has weaknesses. And this is before we did the Working Genius. Now we realize absolutely. And that's part of how they develop, is in having to deal with whatever their parents aren't doing, as well as what your parents are doing. So it's kind of good to go like, hey, this would be a great thing to talk to your kids about too, to say, hey, neither mom and I are you guys see this. We're not good at finishing things and following through. Now we try our best. Now you have that and we don't. And you know, having that conversation allows them to go, oh, you're human. Because it's unfortunate that we tend to think our parents are supposed to be perfect.
Yeah.
And then even parents think themselves are supposed to be perfect, and then they feel guilty for what they're not. I think about Michael Jordan. I'm kind of all over the map here. You'll have to forgive me, but I kind of think about Michael Jordan, how they said, you're not a great outside shooter. So instead of feeling guilty about that, they said, just do what you do really well. And then your confidence will be so high that your shooting will get better. And eventually he became one. Whereas other players, they take him, they say, well, you're good at rebounding and defense, but you're not good at shooting. And then they destroy their confidence.
Yeah.
So let's celebrate and lean into and thank God for the moments where we get to parent our children with our strengths. And probably that will allow us to, with a lot less guilt, to fill in some of our gaps too.
This is kind of an interesting thing, that the three of us all have the frustration of enablement and tenacity. So obviously parenting is full of a need for enablement. We have, our kids need a lot of help and a lot of tenacity. Parenting is full of paperwork, right? Full of things you have to get done. So you can't answer, I just gave it to my wife to do. What do you do when you have tenacity stuff? Like, how do you learn how to create space for that or motivate yourself to be able to do that?
Well, you're asking the wrong guy. His wife has tenacity.
Yeah.
Well, she does. You should be asking me.
That's actually true. But go ahead, Pat. I do have an answer, but I want to hear yours, because it is actually, I know this is the thing that you guys felt guilt over for years, and this gave new language to how you guys thought about it.
You know, I think, and I will say again, the biggest thing is to accept it. Because like, I remember the time I came home and the power was not on at our home. And I thought our neighborhood's power was out. We're in California, you know, that happens. And I said, wow, the neighborhood's power is out, Laura. And she goes, no, the neighbors have power. I said, oh, really? And I flicked the switch. Oh, no, we don't. And she said, yeah, we don't. I didn't pay the bill. And now we tell that story proudly. We're like, that's us. You know, I remember that day I was like, well, don't they send us a notice to tell us? She goes, oh yeah, they send you three notices, in fact. And we can say, yeah, that we were probably writing a musical. Yeah. My wife was writing a musical. We invented a board game that week. The point of the matter is, the first thing you can do is go, yes, that's going to play out in our family. And that's okay. Then you can say, let's not feel guilty for outsourcing. You know, and I should have been making your wives come to my house more for dinner, knowing that by the time they left, they would have probably cleaned up, paid our bills, you know, taken care of some chores. But sometimes we do have to look outside of our family for help at the areas we're not good at. My dad used to mow the lawn every Saturday. The idea of paying somebody to mow the lawn was just so anathema to him. I realize now he was an ET. I hated mowing the lawn with my dad. I loved him, but I'm not an ET. I proudly pay somebody to mow my lawn. We're nice to them. They're friends of ours. And they love doing it. So sometimes it's just like, no more guilt, outsource, go to town.
Yeah. There's a couple thoughts I had, Bo, as you asked that question, which is, one is, even having a framework for what is required in work is really helpful. Because you might actually say, we haven't stopped to wonder, even though that's not our gift or our natural inclination. Let's sit down with nothing other than asking questions about our family and what they need. Do we need a vacation right now? Does one of our kids need some special attention or one-on-one time? Or what are better ways we could pour into them? Just knowing that there's a finite six activities that we need to be doing as a family is really helpful, even if it's not the most natural one that you like doing the most. As far as like tenacity is concerned, my thoughts, I often tell Lindsay, boy, if I had Working Genius before I got married, I would have picked a DT to marry. So I just got really lucky, you know? So she's a discernment tenacity, much like your wife, Bo. And I think what it does for me is two things. I can't just hand all the tenacity stuff to my wife and be like, you love this work. Congratulations. Go get it. What it does is it allows me to honor and speak words of encouragement to her in a way that I didn't have the right language for before. Like, hey, what you do for our family in this area by following up on all these things is so meaningful and so necessary and such a thing that I'm bad at. So it allows me to like speak words of care and love to her in really specific ways that she loves hearing. Because she's in the same way that when she comes to me and says, hey, I really think our family needs your discernment on this, I get really giddy about that, you know, because it's the thing I feel like God's equipped me to do. I get to use that to guide my family. That's great. And then I think that for me, because I can't just hand all of the tenacity work out, you know, I still a framework from Matt Lencioni, which is he has what he calls a T zone, a tenacity zone, where, hey, if I know that I need to do some tenacity work and I know it's not going to be very enjoyable for me, if I go in with the mentality of, hey, for 90 minutes, I'm actually going to go clean the garage or I'm going to fix the door over there or I have this to-do list, I can go in and go, this isn't my whole life. This isn't the way that I'm, you know, most showing up as a parent, but I can get these things done and then move on.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. You know, and that's a great way to look at it, Cody. It's really important because sometimes Matt will disappear into the conference room and he's in there teen like crazy. And that's what Laura and I can do now too, is that we can go, hey, this is an unpleasant part of our job. Let's do it together and let's try to minimize the amount of time and let's make it like a project, but we're not going to feel bad for not loving this. And then you can actually tolerate it a lot more. But if you're carrying around this guilt, like, what's wrong with me? Why don't I like paying the bills? It's like, that's going to make you, it's going to make it all that much worse.
Hey, let me just chime in on one thing, Cody, and then I bet we have even more stuff to talk about. But you said that, you know, you can kind of envy my invention in the same way I can kind of envy your discernment. And we work side by side throughout the week and regularly we'll just pause and say, hey, can I run something by you? It's not a work thing. It's a family thing. And my temptation, because your genius is discernment, it's one of my competencies, is to sometimes to try to fake it like, oh no, I've got it. Or sometimes to cover it up instead of just to ask for help. And yeah, you're right. We can't likely hire another person to come and help parent with us, but we do have people around us that actually get joy and energy from being able to help us in areas that they have a genius.
Well, you know, it's so funny. Tracy's sitting here and throughout our marriage, which has coincided with much of our employment, you know, Laura will say, I'll ask Laura a question. And it can be anything from, should we go there on vacation or should we refinance our house? Or does this jacket go with this shirt? And Laura will go, discernment's not really my thing. Ask Tracy. Mm-hmm. And like Tracy has played a role in helping us with parenting because we know that she has really good judgment and she's a D. And so even Laura will just say, hey, go ask that person.
Yeah.
And there's this thing called closed system families, if you ever go to counseling, that think that there's something wrong with letting outsiders into your family and helping you with things. And it's one of the greatest unburdening of a family is to be able to say, we know what we're not good at. Let's let other people help us.
Totally. Well, I feel like that is the answer. So if people are listening to this and they're like, boy, okay, here's me and my spouse's working genius. What does that look like? But I hope our wives don't mind if we share this story, but I think what you just described and what Pat said came out in a story about 2 weeks ago where you told me when we were talking about our families and you were gone, we were on a trip together and you said, here's something that happens is my wife is all discernment tenacity. And so when I leave, she has to get the kids ready for school and get them to doctor's appointments. And it feels like she is just the operations person. And then when I come home, I use my invention to play a new game with them or invent a thing for us to do. And they think I'm the fun dad. You know, and you were sort of asking about what should we do about that? And so we played around for 5 minutes and I said, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you use your invention to invent a game that you leave behind for them that your wife gets to play with your kids so that she gets to do something fun? She doesn't have to use her frustration, you know, of invention to actually come up with something. And you were like, that's a great idea. So this is us sort of outsourcing. If you think of this on a team, it's like, boy, we're going to go borrow someone. We should have people in our lives and couples in our lives that have other geniuses that we can say, help me think about this. You know, what should I do?
Yeah.
It was great advice.
I thought you were going to say boasted. No way. Then I don't get to be the fun dad.
It was totally fun. We actually, Cody and I had a flight that got delayed. And so we just invented a game and sent it to the kids via Marco Polo. And you're right. It created a total win. Now I got to figure out a way to galvanize when I'm not here. Maybe I can like have a voice recording at 7 a.m. that wakes them up.
Hey, you know what? What we haven't talked really about one genius, which is wonder. My wife is a wonderer. And as it turns out, three of my four boys are wonderers too. And so that means my wife is really deep in thought, contemplative, and asking questions and pondering things. And that's not part of parenting. That's not a very observable physical part of parenting, but it's huge because my wife thinks about and prays for and is constantly in deep thought about my about her children. And I'm thinking out loud that I probably need to help my kids realize that that's one of the big things my wife brings to our family. Even though they, I mean, Matt here, my son, he's a wonderer. I didn't know that growing up until we did Working Genius. And now I'm realizing how deep he is in thought. And people that are wonderers need others to say, you know what's going on in their brain? And you know how thoughtful they are and all those things. So sometimes we have to help our kids understand the gifts our co-spouse or our co-parent is bringing that might not be apparent to them.
So I think that there's so many applications. Know who you are. Don't feel guilt and shame about the way your family makeup is around your working genius. There's another topic I think it's worth doing a couple minutes on because this is sort of, we have kids that span, my youngest is 1.5. Your oldest is 23, Pat. So, and Bo is right in the middle and it's working genius and our kids. So how we parent is one thing.
14 years old. That's just crazy. He looks 17. No, yeah, we have kids like every 3 years from 1.5 to 23. Sorry, that was a bad joke. No,
oh, I think I missed it. I thought maybe, but anyway, yeah, it was a bad joke. We'll just move. No, but I think what's interesting is we've had this conversation, Bo. I think you're uniquely in this season where you're discovering your kids' geniuses, and your oldest is 10. And so I think it's really interesting. We should leave parents with this idea of like, boy, how great is it to be able to discover your kid's genius and what implications does that have on how you parent them, how you think about their grades and their homework in school, how you think about their career and advice you give them. Tell us a little bit about what you're going through in that.
A question that we get regularly is, well, how old do you have to be able to take the Working Genius assessment? And I think as parents, you know, we're craving information that's going to help us be a better parent and give us the answer. And I think one of the beauties, I think for us in this season, my kids are 10, 9, 7, and 5, is that we're on this journey of discovery together to figure out what their geniuses are. And I think at 10 years old, you can't really take the assessment yet, but you can actually understand the model. And my 5-year-old understands generally, he doesn't know what the word galvanizing means, but he generally understands this concept that he has different things that he brings to our family than his brothers and his sister do. So first, I would just say it's really fun to talk about. And every kid likes hearing that they're a genius. And what I've seen is one genius starts to be pretty clear. And then the older they get, that second genius starts to get clear. And Cody, you said this about your wife. It's so fun to be able to have language to affirm the genius that our kids have. And, you know, don't get me on this soapbox. So much of their life really only values tenacity. How many worksheets can you get done? And can you get it done on time? And I want to create an environment where, number one, they're affirmed for their genius and they actually get opportunity to stretch their legs and explore their genius and figure out how to stand taller on that platform that we believe God has given them. And then two, how do I create an environment where they're kind of learning more and more of that proficiency and learning how to rely on each other and use each other's geniuses? And actually, Kurt, you've seen some of this, like being kind of watching our family from 5 minutes away.
You know, Bo, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about, here's the great dilemma of parenting. I think I'm pushing my kids too hard. I don't think I'm pushing my kids hard enough. I don't think I'm pushing my kids too hard enough. I think I'm pushing them too hard. I mean, you're constantly trying to find that thing, like, what are we supposed to do? Well, if we don't understand how they're made and how God made them, it's hard to know that. I have a son, Mikey, my 15-year-old. He's a wonderer inventor. He's the same as Laura. That's called a creative dreamer. Getting his algebra homework done is never going to be his favorite thing. I mean, there are kids in the world who get home and they go, I'm going to get my algebra homework done in 15 minutes. Yes. And knowing that now doesn't mean we still don't have to figure out a way to galvanize him to do his homework. But it totally changes the way we approach him and understand what, how he's wired. And I will just tell you that expectations of him are changing slightly, and we're celebrating the person he really is, knowing that he's looking for an opportunity to exercise creativity. I wish there was a school where that happened more, but we know that later in life, he's going to be able to do that. This is profoundly impacting the way we parent. He hasn't, I think he actually did take the assessment, and he's 15, and a 15 year old probably can. I think we're going to work on a kids friendly one eventually. But like Matt, my 23 year old is a WD. He is a what's called the contemplative counselor. We look back at when he was young and didn't realize this. He used to give the best advice to Laura and I when he was like 11. You remember how Tracy had come to work and go, Matthew really understands what's going on. Knowing that now helps us realize, oh, that's something we want a parent for. So anyway, it's just such a fascinating thing to start to begin to see who your kids are. The other thing is to recognize what their frustrations are.
Yeah.
And to go, hey, he has none of this or she has none of that. That one's going to be a challenge.
I think when they are challenged, three of my kids don't have tenacity. And so life does have tenacity. I like being able, knowing that they don't have tenacity as a genius, create some space for recovery for them so that they have a space to be able to invent or be able to be social or, you know, find something else that gives them energy after they've had to do all of their worksheets.
Right.
Well, my kids as a three-year-old and a one-year-old, three-year-old daughter, one-year-old son, obviously they can't take the assessment. I don't know what their geniuses are, but I'm convinced that their working frustrations are enablement. Because even as a galvanizer, I can't get them to do what I want at any point during the day. So
there is not a three-year-old in the world who's an enabler. And even the kids that are tenacious, what they're tenacious around can change a little bit. But nonetheless, you know, I think there's a blood test that we're coming up with for this. So even if they can't do the assessment, you can do a blood test and find out what their working genius is.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect.
Right, Matt? Are you working on that?
Yeah, and I actually have something I want to add to the point you were just making, Pat.
Oh, I'd love it.
Or Dad, I guess. You were talking about how knowing your kids' geniuses affects the way that you interact with them and how you push them and everything. But I was thinking in our relationship, how one thing we haven't talked about on this episode yet is regulating your geniuses and how your own geniuses affects the way you interact with them and push them. And one thing I thought about was that both my parents are eyes, WI and an ID, right? And so you don't have meetings to consider when you're a parent, but how you can have conversations with your kids. So when I would tell you guys things, I got ideas every time.
Oh my gosh.
And if you had known kind of, if you had gone into conversations thinking, okay, I know that I want to bring my geniuses to this conversation. Is that what this meeting needs? Is that what my son needs right now? You wouldn't have been, you know, I just wanted to tell you something, or I just wanted
to. He tried to solve every problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, and you're an ID. And so understanding your own geniuses and how you interact with your kids, being an ID is a recipe for unsolicited advice.
Well said.
If you knew like how you were bringing your geniuses to each conversation and how like, oh, is this what I need, what my son needs right now? Like, I think it would have helped you a lot. Wow. It would help me a lot. I know that.
I'm sorry, Matthew. It's totally true. We don't know how to regulate
yourself on you again. That was too. No, I'm just kidding.
That's I'm done.
That was profound. And that's great. A conversation we've never really had before. And that's so true because I was just going to my sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, you know what? I just need you to listen and then maybe help me finish this. And I'm like, no, but I've got some awesome advice for you. Yeah. So that's a great insight, Matt.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, Matt.
I need to go recover now. No, I'm just teasing. That's great. We have to regulate ourselves. We have to lean into our strengths. We have to be good at the things we're not good at. It's a parenting is a hard thing.
It's exhausting.
But it's important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. This is fun to talk about. But you know what I'd love to do, but I realize we're all three dads, of course. I'd love to have our wives on and hear their perspectives. From a slightly different one. And maybe we'll do that another time. We'll have the rebuttal.
That would be great.
The rebuttal.
That would be great. I love that.
Hey, this has been fun, you guys. We want to thank everybody for listening. Share us your thoughts with you. Oh, by the way, we got a great email here I want to read from a guy named Matthew. And he said he's been working for a family company for 25 years. That means he started the same year we did because we're almost 25 years old. He said they have 11 team members. And the question he said is, he came across the Working Genius podcast and he listened to every single one of them in one day. Thankfully, his wife also works at the company, so she probably wasn't like, what the hell are you doing? So his question was, is it good to go through the Working Genius as a group or better just do it individually? And I think it's great to do it as a group and to use that team map, because to see everybody else's genius and be recognized for what it is, Matt, is a wonderful thing. And there's so many insights and so much low-hanging fruit that comes about when you do it as a group. So I think definitely feel comfortable with that. He also asked a question, which is very timely. He says he has an employee who's Hispanic and language isn't as easy in English. And he said, should he go through it with him or do we have one in Spanish? Well, we are right now in the process of having the Working Genius assessment translated into Spanish. And we're really excited about that. So right now I would say, go through it with him and make sure he gets some of the more nuanced words. But I can't wait for in the next few months. What is that? In the next few months, Bo?
Oh, yeah. We're testing it next week.
I love it. So here in the spring, we are going to have, in the late winter, we're going to have a Spanish assessment, which is wonderful. All righty. That's it for today. Thank you for joining us on the Working Genius podcast. We'll talk to you next time. God bless.